So as we celebrate the Lord coming into our world, let's remember the promises God made through his messenger, the angel Gabriel, when Mary learned she would be the mother of the Messiah. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 1, verses 28 through 33, and then we're going to unpack it a bit. It says, And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." All right, well, let's unpack this. The angel Gabriel, which is one of the three named angels in Scripture, so he's an important angel, came to Mary and said that she should rejoice. Mary was being blessed to be the mother of Jesus, so she should be thrilled. She was also highly favored by God. Mary was no doubt chosen because of her closeness to God. This doesn't mean that she was sinless, but that she trusted in God to make it possible for her to have life after death. The angel also said that she was blessed. All women of faith between Eve and Mary wanted to be the mother of the Messiah. Well, turns out that Mary was the one who was chosen. But with all this good news, Mary was troubled. This was new and unexpected. Not all news is good news, particularly to an engaged woman who finds herself with child before she's married back in Mary's day. But an angel of the Lord also appeared to Joseph, who was Mary's betrothed, and explained to him what was going on. You can read about that in Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. The angel Gabriel also told Mary not to be afraid. For some reason, angels were always having to assure people of this when they appeared. So you can imagine that being visited by an angelic being would shake you up a little bit. All right, let's take a look. There's seven promises. The title of this message is The Promises of Christmas. Well, there are seven of them in that passage I read, and we're going to take a look at each one. The first promise was that Mary would conceive and bring forth a son. God would miraculously initiate the pregnancy of Mary because she was a virgin. This was a miraculous event that was foretold in Isaiah 7:14. In fact, this same verse is what was used by the angel that appeared to Joseph, Mary's betrothed, to explain to Mary what was going on with her. The second promise was that Mary was to call her son Jesus. Now, the Hebrew names mean something, and Jesus means Savior. Jesus did as he was named. He became our Savior. In fact, he came to be our Savior. The third promise is that Mary's son would be great. Certainly, Jesus became the greatest man this world has ever known. No other lived a completely selfless life, performed messianic miracles, paid the sin penalty of his followers, was raised from the dead, and established a spiritual kingdom that's still growing today. So the fourth promise was that Mary's son would be the Son of the Highest. Jesus was recognized as the Son of God. The Jews understood this term, Son of God, to mean same as God. So Jesus was not just a man. He came as a man, but he is also our almighty creator who took on a human body in order to pay the penalty for our selfishness, which the Bible calls sin. These first four promises were fulfilled when Jesus came. But there are yet three other promises yet to be fulfilled that haven't been fulfilled yet. They weren't fulfilled when Jesus came. These last three promises are, the first one, he will be given the throne of David. The second is that he will reign over the house of Jacob. And the third is, there will be no end to his kingdom. These three promises are actually prophecies of future events. God revealed prophecies to us so that we may know that Scripture is from Him, because only God can declare the end from the beginning. God also wants us to know what's going to happen in the future so that we could be prepared. And it also helps us to see that He is in control despite the disturbing course of the world. And there's a lot of disturbing things going on in our world today, isn't there? The 1 Thessalonians 5:4 says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief." God wants us to know and be prepared and understand. And that's why we study His Word. All right, let's take a detailed look at these three yet unfulfilled promises that the angel Gabriel gave to Mary. First was that Jesus would be given the throne of David. There is no doubt that Jesus is currently reigning from His heavenly throne over His kingdom, the church. The throne of David is not the throne of God. The throne of God is in heaven. The throne of David is on earth in Jerusalem. Jesus will occupy the throne of David when He returns to earth to reign from Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that reign will last for 1,000 years. That's why we call that reign the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. This will be an amazing time when the Messiah Jesus will be the undisputed monarch on earth. There won't be any quibbles about the vote. He will be undisputed ruler over all the earth. And the church age followers of Jesus will be with Him. The scripture tells us that when Jesus returns for His bride, the church, before He returns to rule on earth, Jesus told us about this and promised in John 14:3 when He said, "I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The end of the church age will have a spectacular conclusion, because all believers, both living and dead, will be given eternal bodies that will never get sick and die. So that's why we look forward to the Lord's coming back, because when He returns first for His followers during the church age, and that's before He comes back to set up His millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom will be an amazing time when there will be no war between the nations of the earth. And in fact, death, it will still exist, but it'll be very rare compared to the way things are nowadays. The millennial kingdom will be the utopia longed for by the nations. And most of the fallen nature of this world will be removed so that carnivores, bloodthirsty lions, will become herbivores. It says in Isaiah 65 that lions will eat straw like an ox. So we have these four cats that love to eat grass. And it brings joy to my heart when I see them munching on grass, because I just have to think that they're getting ready for the millennial kingdom. All right, so the second promise that the angel gave Mary was that Jesus would reign over the house of Jacob. Now, the house of Jacob is not the church. This is an Old Testament term for the children of Israel. Since the cross, God has been working through the church as His representatives on earth. Israel, during this time, has been set aside in that role until this age is complete. But that doesn't mean God is done with Israel. The Bible teaches that the Jews as a nation will accept Jesus as their Messiah during a period of transition between this current church age and the millennial kingdom to come. This transition period will last at least 7 years and is called the tribulation. Or in Jeremiah 30, verse 7, it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. The prophet Daniel gave us the time frame for how long God would work through Israel as His representatives on earth. All but 7 of those years were fulfilled when Jesus went to the cross. The remaining 7 years are yet future and will be fulfilled during that time of Jacob's trouble. God promised that when the Messiah returns, at the end of that time of transition, the Jewish remnant would become the foremost nation in all the world. The Lord himself is going to be ruling there from Jerusalem, so that's the place where everybody is going to look for leadership. And the Lord himself will be there to provide that leadership. There are strong indications that we're on the very cusp of that transition into the millennial kingdom. Some of these indicators are the current COVID pandemic and the world's response to it, the political division that we see today, the increasing racial conflicts, civil unrest, and governmental mandates that we see, the world embracing globalism and socialism. And there are multiple signs related to the nation of Israel that I won't even mention here yet. But I love to talk about it. So corner me and I'll be happy to bend your ear about what's going on in Israel. It'll just, as one of my favorite prophecy teachers say, it will knock your socks off. Because it's amazing. All right. There are also, during this time frame, there are scoffers in the church that says that Jesus isn't even coming back, okay? So that in itself is a prophecy revealing that we are in the very end of the church age. All right, so the third, okay, well, let me plug our Bible study here. Our these kind of discussion about prophetic developments in the world, we often get onto these topics in our Sunday evening Bible studies that we have here at 6 o'clock in the evening. We do a deep dive into the Scripture, going verse by verse. And if you're intrigued by what the Bible has to say about what's going on in the world, we encourage you to come. All right, so moving on to the third promise that the angel Gabriel gave to Mary. There will be no end to Jesus' kingdom. The current spiritual kingdom of the church age will be eclipsed by the physical reality of the millennial kingdom. Thus, the spiritual kingdom of the church age will effectively end when we receive our eternal bodies. It says in 1 Corinthians 13:12, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known." Today we live by faith. When we receive our new eternal bodies, we no longer have to live just by faith. We'll be able to live by sight because we will see Jesus as he is. And we will have amazing capabilities in these glorified bodies. I'm not going to take the time to go into all that, but it's pretty exciting when you consider not just that we are having bodies that will not get sick, grow old, or die, but we have bodies that's like the very body Jesus has today when he was resurrected. And he demonstrated some amazing things to us before he ascended. All right, the millennial kingdom is but a foreshadowing of what things will be like in eternity when there will be no physical death anywhere. Our existence, though, during the eternal state is not beyond our understanding. Our eternal existence will not be some disembodied spirit in an ethereal spirit world that, like some people believe. Instead, we will spend eternity in physical bodies that will never get sick, grow old, or die on a new physical earth that will be significantly more glorious than our current planet. And the reason for that is that our current planet has suffered from the consequences of mankind's sin. I'm looking forward to being one of those who will work with God to oversee his creation during the millennial kingdom and beyond into the eternal state. My hope this Christmas is that everyone here would also be certain of their life after death. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." We can have confidence that our eternal destiny is with the Lord because of the promises God has made to us. That we will spend eternity with him if we trust in his provision. That Jesus paid the penalty for our sin when he died on the cross. But Jesus didn't stay in the grave. He rose from the dead in an eternal body like we will be given when he comes back for us. Biblical Christianity is unique from all the world's religions. You can test me on this. Every religion of the world teaches that to have eternal life, you must do certain good works to earn God's favor. Check it out. I challenge you to find one that doesn't. With such a mentality, you'll never quite know if you're good enough. So you can't have certainty of life after death. Biblical Christianity, God wants us to live with that certainty. If you are trusting your works, you can't have that certainty. The Bible says Jesus already did the only work necessary for us to have eternal life when he died on the cross. Our eternal life begins when we respond to the provision God made by believing in him. That belief in Jesus is crucial. Those who think there must be some other way to spend eternity with their Creator will be sorely disappointed. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. All right, I've covered a lot of concepts here today in a short period of time. Some of these may be new to you. One of the visions that we have for this chapel is for our ministry to go deeper into Scripture so that we may address the issues that are relevant to our times. If you are, if you want to join us for our Sunday evening Bible studies, I'd invite you to do that. If there's anything I presented this afternoon that you would like to better understand, I'd love to have the opportunity to go deeper into that with you. All right, just let me know and we'll set something up. I'm going to conclude now with a prayer, and then we're going to observe the Lord's Supper together. As I pray, use this time to reflect on your relationship with Jesus. Thank the Father for sending Jesus to pay the penalty for our sins, and ask him to reveal anything to you that you need to do to be closer to him. Thank him for the promises of Christmas and tell him that you look forward to seeing the promises of Christmas yet to be fulfilled come to fruition. All right, please bow with me now in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you.